We saw the first really big art of the modern era when the church commissioned works about God, the Virgin Mary, and that crowd. Artists had big subjects, they had big spaces, and they had time and money. Think of Titian's 22-foot-tall Assumption of the Virgin Mary. Art just couldn't get any bigger as long as artists were being so literal. Even a picture of the Virgin Mary is a little creepy when it gets too big. It's only when art moved away from representation that something really big could happen. Stephanie Barron is chief curator of modern and contemporary art at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Beginning in the 50s, we moved into abstraction, and there's a big difference. There are no set boundaries. You don't have to, you're not telling a story from left to right or top to bottom. And it's only the ambition of the idea that puts a limit on it.
Think of that picture of Jackson Pollock leaning over his canvas on the floor with his legs spread, paint in one hand and brush in the other. The painting is about 18 feet long, or about three times the size of the guy painting it.
There's a reason that that photograph has become so famous, because it's about Pollock almost being in the canvas and expressing his emotion directly onto the canvas. It's very different than a rather measured painting done on the easel, on the wall, where you step back and you go forward and you're very carefully calibrating what's going on.
Theoretically, art had been freed to grow as big as the biggest human emotion. But there were still practical considerations. Remember, artists didn't have patrons anymore, and bigger work cost more to make.
You need a large studio, you need a large gallery, you need either a collector who has a kind of jumbo exhibition space, or a museum. So there are all those issues that come into play with the care and feeding, shall we say, of large-scale works of art.
After the war, New York became the epicenter of the art world. Manufacturing was fleeing Manhattan, and galleries began to move into the industrial spaces they left behind. Pat Foer was an artist at the time and has now owned a gallery for more than 30 years. I talk with Pat and the artist Karen Carson at Bergamot Station, a gallery complex in Santa Monica.
In the late 40s, real estate on 57th Street became so expensive that people had moved to kind of industrial areas where the spaces were large.
And cheap.
They were large and cheap. And I saw this show there, and it was in this huge vacant space with enormous paintings to fill up the space because they could. They couldn't before. I don't even think they thought about it. Before. They saw the space and they filled it.
Abstract expressionists like Jackson Pollock had opened the floodgates for bigger art from then on. Minimalist Ellsworth Kelly created colorful geometric paintings as big as an 18-wheeler. Pop artist Klaus Oldenburg made an ice pack big enough for King Kong's headaches. And land artist Michael Heiser's Nine Nevada Depressions looks like God doodled in the desert with a stick. The artist Karen Carson says there's a movie that explains this need to work big.
Have you seen The Horse's Mouth?
Yeah, I did.
Well, it's Gully Jimson is the name of the artist that Alec Guinness plays, and he is an inveterate painter who always needs large spaces, and he never has it. He lives on a houseboat. So every time Gully sees a huge white wall, he has to paint it.
That wall. It's rather bare, I'm afraid.
That's the wall I want. I've dreamt of a wall like that.
I was a kid when I saw that movie. I was in high school, and it completely explained to me what art was all about. It was like filling up spaces, and the bigger the better. It's part of making yourself larger than who you are, so it's a huge amount of ego involved.
Can you remember an artist who decided to go large because they could, but whose work did not support the size?
Probably most of them. But I don't want to name names, do I?
When I was growing up and I was a young artist, I thought if you were a man, you made a big picture.
If you were an unafraid man, you could make a really tiny picture.
Exactly.
Karen Carson's current work at the Rosamund Felsen Gallery at Bergamot Station is about the terrible beauty of the recent California brush fires. One painting, filled with swirls of lurid red and day-glow orange, is 21 feet long and covers almost an entire gallery wall. Why did you decide to make it this size?
because I wanted to make them more scary. And also I knew I had a space that I could show them in. That does make a difference.
In the same room, there are three smaller paintings that are more human-sized. I asked Karen why she made some of the work smaller if the subject demanded larger scale.
I would make a couple of very large paintings and then make satellite works that are smaller, because if people see something that's really large that they really love but they can't afford it, they always would like to buy a smaller version. It's like souvenirs. So you buy like you buy a souvenir of where you went on your vacation. Something should be taken away.
You can't take much away from the newest, biggest art. In fact, most people won't even get a chance to see it. For instance, if you didn't get to London in the last 6 months, you missed the Weather Project at the Tate Modern. This artificial weather system filled the Tate's football field-sized turbine hall with artist-made sun and artist-made mist. But the Weather Project is so big and so site-specific that now that it's gone, it's really gone, except in the exhibition catalog and on the Tate's website. It's kind of funny. As art gets bigger, it seems like it only lives on in pictures small enough to fit in a coffee table book. For Studio 360, I'm Matt Holzman.
You can see images of Karen Carson's giant brush fire paintings at studio360.org, which we have reduced to fit on normal-sized computer screens.